Well, it was in 2005 that WestJet, as a company, was at a fork in the road. After starting in the marketplace in 1996 with just 3 aircrafts, but growing fast each year, they found that sales plateaued suddenly, and while their product hadn't changed, they felt that they needed a new branding to consumers. Enter marketing team. The marketing team was tasked to find a new way to connect with people. Well, the marketing team met behind closed doors for 3 full weeks, and they came up with some videos with a new brand. And after all of this, they were proud to show them off. And so they gathered 800 employees to a screening of their efforts, a litmus test, if you will, before they went public. Well, the marketing manager confessed in an interview later that things didn't exactly go as planned. He said, during the first commercial shown, instead of laughter, as they had hoped, you could hear a pin drop in that room of 800. They cycled through all of the commercials, and by the end, people were actually booing their own company's commercials. And here's why. They said the ads didn't reflect the culture of WestJet, and that employees knew that if the commercials went public, that they just would not connect with people. So out of that near disaster, what came out of that was this brilliant idea that would actually become one of the company's most enduring campaigns, one that still exists today. Considering the pride employees felt in their brand, someone in the meeting actually remarked that they were almost like owners. To which someone replied that, under the revenue sharing program that WestJet had, they technically were. Owners became the catchword for WestJet in 2005, and commercials were produced showing employees going out of their way to help passengers. Commercials just like this one.
What if we can't take the turtle on board?
How am I gonna tell them the turtle can't board?
Wait, what?
So what do we do? Flush it?
Whoa, no.
Oh, it probably has a name.
Yes, I have a name. My name is Steve.
I got this.
Oh, who's this little guy? Listen, I have an idea.
WestJet or Amanda actually babysat a turtle. Who does that? Owners do.
You guys seen that on TV? Isn't that awesome? I love their tagline at the end. Who does that? Owners do. The new branding hit the nail on the head, and it gave a face to the brand. Actually, the employees themselves. Now, this morning, I don't want to turn this into a TED Talk by any means. But we have to ask the question, as we dig a little deeper here, why did the owners' campaign do so well? What's the big deal about this? I thought about this week. And I think it has actually something to do with this. It did so well because everybody knows that owners are different than employees, or what we could also call hired hands. To owners, you see, everything is at stake. When you're an owner and someone wins, everyone wins. When you're an owner and someone suffers, everyone suffers. The gap between being an owner and being a hired hand is massive. And Jesus talks about this difference in John chapter 10, which is where we're going to go this morning. Maybe you're saying to yourself, if you've been a part of North Langley for a little while, didn't we just spend 2 years in John and we're going back to the well? To which I'll say, yes, we're actually going to spend another 2 years in there through a different translation to see what else we can get out of it. So let's just ride it for a while and see what we can find. But there's something in here as kind of a one-off this week, but it's been on my heart for some time for both of our campuses, but not just our campuses, but as followers of Jesus. And here's what I want to, here's my heart on this. Here's what I want us to see. That in the kingdom of God, Jesus calls us all to be owners. In the kingdom of God, Jesus calls us all to be owners. Now, I want to clarify this right away because you might be thinking, here's a talk from the pastor about garnering up more support for different things. And I want to clarify this. Today is not just one big volunteer push. We have needs. Yes, we have needs. You just heard about them from my lovely wife that are coming up. Needs for camp. I'll tell you, we also have immediate needs for more volunteers in kids ministry in general. In fact, we have needs in many areas. But the win today in looking at John 10 is not just to have 200 people sign up for camp, although that would make my wife very happy, I will tell you that. But today is also not just a big life group sign-up day to have more people attending smaller groups in community than we've ever had before. Today is also not just a give more money talk because of our presentation by Herb and Janet about our big financial needs before fiscal year end June 30th. Today is not just those things, but I believe ownership in the kingdom of God involves these things, but it's much, much deeper. You see, in the eyes of Jesus, ownership is completely and altogether a heart issue. It's not just a do more issue. And so please don't hear me as just whatever you're doing, do more. If you got 90% on your exam, where's that other 10% and you've got to do more? You don't have to. Our actions follow our heart. And so I want to actually ask God that he would speak to our hearts today. I believe that if we understand God's heart and what it looks like for ownership, that we will get a glimpse into how he wants us to see life and faith and how they mesh together. And so as I speak this morning, ask the Lord how we can all take the next step in being an owner this morning. Now in John chapter 10, we find Jesus speaking to a group of Jewish people. Jesus is talking about sheep, and more than likely he's standing pretty close to sheep while he's talking. You see, at this time of the year, during a festival that was taking place in Jerusalem, sheep were all over the place. Israelites would come in from the countryside to this festival called the Festival of Dedication. And as this is taking place, as there's a lot of baaing around everywhere, Jesus points to his people and says this. In John 10, verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Now listen here. It says, "The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. And so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man, well, he runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." You see, sheep were brought in from the countryside for festivals just like these. They were held in pens, waiting for people who would come in from the country, purchase the sheep, and then use the sheep as a sacrifice at the festival. Thank you, Lord, that we don't do that today. But that's what took place then. The owner brought the sheep in from the country, but the owner was usually fairly important and had other business to attend to. And so as he went out and did things in the city, he didn't want to just leave his sheep by themselves, vulnerable to both theft and attack. And so what he would do is go to the streets, find men needing work, and he would hire them to do a pretty simple job to make sure the sheep were kept safe while he was away. It's not exactly rocket science. The hired hands, as Jesus calls them, knew exactly what their place was. They would take the few shekels that were offered. It was better than nothing, after all. They would watch the sheep, and they did the job as long as it worked out for them. Understand that. As long as it worked out for them. There was zero loyalty among the hired hands. There was little motivation. And of course, things didn't exactly work out for them. Because where one had large gatherings of sheep, the wolves weren't very far away. And just like our friendly blackbirds picking through the garbage around here on garbage day, when the wolves came, licking their chops, we know what took place. Jesus tells us in John 10 that for the hired hands, when faced with either door number one, possibly losing his life to guard some sheep that weren't even his, or door number two, to simply run away, we can guess which door he chose. How do we know? Because if you put yourself in those shoes, if you were the hired hand making peanuts, which path would you choose? You see, owners just think differently. If you're a business owner here this morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter what business you're in, at the end of the day, the buck stops with you. You put in more hours than anyone else. You think at home about how to improve things more than anyone else. You simply care more than anyone else. And I would say this, isn't actually that how it should be? The gap between an owner and a hired hand is massive. I remember working at Wendy's. Proud to say that it was my very first job. I was paid to make sure fries were ready when people ordered fries. It's actually much harder than it sounds. I won't go into all the details of that, but man, it was a tough job. But for my efforts in being the fry guy, I got paid a whopping $3.30 an hour. That means that I would spend 8 hours of my life and get paid just over $25 for my efforts. Back then, it was pretty good money. Now you might kind of think, what's the point of spending 8 hours? I wonder that all the time. But I can tell you this, when my shift was over, it was over. I didn't go home stressing about whether or not there was enough fries ordered until the next shipment came. I didn't give it second thought as to whether we would make profit forecasts as a company. And as a 14-year-old, I certainly wasn't taking time out of my social life to think about market share. I wasn't like with my friends and they're like, Jeff, what's wrong with you today? I'm like, Wendy's just introduced this thing called the Frosty and I'm just wondering how it's reacting in the marketplace. I just don't know. They're like, yeah, you seem really stressed today. I honestly didn't actually give a second thought to any of that. I was the hired hand and I knew my place. It was someone else's job to take care about owner things. In John 10, Jesus isn't condemning the hired hand. He's just making a point that they're different than owners. In the kingdom of God, please understand this, Jesus calls us all to be owners. Right after the book of John, which we've gone through for a while here, the very next book is called the book of Acts. What took place when the Holy Spirit came and Jesus left and this church was born and incredible things took place. Early on in this book, we're given a picture of what ownership looks like in the kingdom of God. If you're looking for people with skin in the game, look no further. Listen to how this new community of Jesus followers is described in Acts chapter 2. This is from the translation called The Voice. It's done a little bit differently, and I just love how it's described here. In Acts 2, it says this. There was an intense sense of togetherness among all who believed. They shared their material possessions in trust. They sold any possessions and goods that did not benefit the community and used the money to help anyone in need. They were unified as they worshiped at the temple day after day. In homes, they broke bread and shared meals with glad and generous hearts. Day after day, the Lord added to their number everyone who was experiencing liberation. Please realize this. This is not a picture of just nice religious people. Nice religious people attend church once, maybe twice a year, drop some change in the Salvation Army kettle at Christmas, and they're good. These people in Acts chapter 2 are fanatics. They are high-level owners. They don't understand church to just simply be a place on a Sunday morning that they went to, but that church was a lifestyle that they lived out 7 days a week. They are high-level owners. Think about what they did here. We're told they sold their homes. Literally, they put their homes up for sale and pooled the money. And not just their homes. It says there that they sold personal possessions that didn't benefit the community. That means goodbye TVs, golf clubs, and iPods. Ouch. People gave to others in need, and that generosity was reciprocated when needed. Again, in a word, these people were high-level owners. In the kingdom of God, Jesus calls us all to be owners. So here's my question today, and my statement. Did you know that if you are a follower of Jesus today, that you are an owner in the kingdom of God? Just like the WestJet employees, we actually all have a share in the kingdom. We have different gifts, we have different passions, we have different resources, but we are all shareholders. And so my question is this, what are we doing with our share? What are we doing with it? Now, if you're here this morning and you're just visiting, welcome. We're so glad you're here. And we want to let you know that not only you, but every single one of us, we're always welcome here at North Langley. That is how God has welcomed us, and we want to welcome that, extend that to anybody and everybody. We're always welcome here. We're not going to give you a timeline to become owners and then shoo you away. If you're checking out faith this morning, we hope today that you would see God as a good shepherd in your life. and that he wants to become Lord and Savior of your life as well. But here's where the rubber hits the road, and things might get a little bit tense. But if you've been attending NLCC for some time now, and if our asking you to grow in your faith has ever come off as casual, or using your gifts to serve has ever been communicated as a take it or leave it, it doesn't really matter, I want to say this to you with a sincere heart. We apologize. We apologize because we have not communicated what kingdom living actually means. I want to say this morning that if that's you, if you're just attending week after week and your mindset is like a hired hand, I want to say this emphatically. You're missing out. You are missing out. I'm not here to tell you you're a bad person and to change your ways, but what I am saying is you're missing out. You're missing out on the beauty of what ownership can look like as it's meant to in the kingdom of God, and what ownership can mean in your own life, and what ownership can mean as far as being a part of a faith community like North Langley Community Church. Because I believe with my whole heart that there's something beautiful that takes place when people realize they are owners and lean into something. I know this because many have told me that they have gotten involved, and as they have, it has changed their lives. It has changed everything. And I want to invite up a couple who are going to describe a little bit about their journey into what ownership has looked like more and more for them. So Matt and Rose, you want to come up? They're nervous about today, but they're going to do great. Thanks for telling everybody, Jeff. Exactly. Talk to me later on that. But I've asked them to share a little bit about what their journey has been like so far.
Am I holding?
You hold. You go ahead.
Actually, you hold. Hi there.
Hi there. My name is Rose Thiessen. Our family has been attending NLCC on and off for around 9 years. A typical Sunday for us would be to quickly sign the kids up for Sunday school, go sit down in the very back row, sit through the service, then pick up the kids and quickly dart out to the car and go home. We knew a handful of people and didn't even always stop to chat with them. For a short time, I was helping in Sunday school, mainly because our youngest would cry and would not want to go. And I helped out briefly in the GEMS program when our daughter attended, in which I did meet some lovely women and moms. A couple of years ago, we felt a tugging and a need for something more, something we could be involved with together, and decided to take a step out of our comfort zone and ask to join a life group. This was a huge step for us, to actually commit to meeting weekly with people from the church, mostly people we did not know. I had concerns that we wouldn't mesh well and that it would just be awkward. And we said we wanted to host because then we couldn't bail as easy as we easily do when we are tired or have had a hard or long day. Since our mini extension / renovation, we've always wondered how we could use our place for the Lord, and this felt like the perfect opportunity. I can honestly say that this has been one of the best things for us. We've met some amazing people in these two life groups that we've been in so far and are currently in, and we have been encouraged and loved by everyone. Another step that we took and were nervous about was to attend the new campus at Yorkson, and decided to jump in with both feet by serving once or twice a month. We've even stayed for a few potlucks, which is usually not our thing. Only because of God has these things happened. I finally am excited again to go to church each week, not just because I've met more people, but I always feel encouraged and challenged by something I have heard in the sermons. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Matt Thiessen. Just wanted to also say a bit about what she's saying. Just wanted to say that coming to church on Sunday mornings was very easy for me. It was great. I could come into a congregation, listen to good worship, listen to the sermon, sit in the back row. When it was done, I'd take off, and I called it good. I was good to go for another week. That happened for a number of years. Now, though, church is not easy. 2 years ago, we asked if we could also join or host a life group. This, for me, was hard, and I did not or had a lot of challenges to push through in my head, but felt God asking us to step up. Now, this is not easy. Now what have I done? Now I'm committed. So, Well, I wish I had made this move a lot sooner. We have met some great people through Life Group. We pray for each other, laugh with each other, cry with each other, and learn more about God. This past summer, we decided to also join Yorkson. This again was a different situation, being from coming from a larger congregation, going to a smaller congregation. You can't hide in a gym full of people. But again, there was an opportunity to grow, and now we're involved with helping setting up in the morning. Again, that is not easy. I like my Sunday morning sleep. For me, life in church has changed. It's now not easy. It's so much more rewarding seeing God work in others and in our family. Getting involved will and does bring church life to a whole new level. If God is asking you, do it. I wish I had done it a lot sooner. Thank you.
Thank you so much, you guys. I spoke to a dad on my son's baseball team recently, and he found out, well, actually, it's because I told him eventually, but he found out I was a pastor here at North Langley, and he looked at me intently and asked if we were the church that did that single mom thing. And I hesitantly said yes, because I thought maybe there was something wrong here. I could bail if I needed to. But he looked at me and smiled, and he goes, "Man, your church has its beep together." I can't tell you what he said, but it was colorful and interesting, and I think I got his point. But I'll tell you this. It was awesome, because I was proud, because it showed me that people notice when followers of Jesus live like owners, when they lean in instead of just think of that church, but they think of it as my church. And so, can we dream for a minute of what this could look like? And again, my heart on this is not just to do more, but as we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart of what ownership looks like in the kingdom of God, what if? We have a baptism set where both campuses are going to come together and enjoy and celebrate what God is doing in our lives. We have it set for the Labor Day long weekend. And it's going to be outside over at the Yorkson campus on the grounds there. What if we literally had dozens of people decide to get baptized to proclaim their faith in Jesus this way? And I will challenge you. If you are a follower of Jesus today, why not take that chance to proclaim your faith in him? What if we had so many people understanding their ownership that they stepped up to use their talents to volunteer in our two campuses, or even just one, but in our two campuses, that we actually had a wait list? Can you imagine applying to work in kids ministry and they came back to you and said, "I'm sorry, but every position in our kids ministry is full and we have 20 people on the wait list. But please check back in a couple months and we'll try to find a place for you." What if we had to have meetings to decide what to do with our financial surplus because we've exceeded our yearly budget so much because more and more people awaken to this idea of ownership and realize that owning actually truly affects our finances as well? What if every single person who called NLCC home began to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to them through what we have called life journaling? It's just reading through the Bible and asking God to speak to us. Or through relationships and life groups like Matt and Rose just shared. Or every day opening our hands to God, every day, and having all of us admit that we can't do things on our own and that we need the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. Jesus' call was never, ever to be a hired hand. And so why do we settle for it? In the kingdom of God, Jesus calls us all to be owners. And so my question is, how do we exercise that ownership? How is the Holy Spirit calling all of us, regardless of where we're at, into what that next step of ownership looks like? Well, as we move into communion today, we realize that we are only owners. We are only owners in the first place because Jesus himself was the ultimate owner. In John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I would never run from the wolf like a hired hand, but would be willing to lay down my life. And that's exactly what Jesus did. At 33 years of age, Jesus hung on a Roman cross so that he would guard his sheep and that he would make a way for us to have a relationship with him. I'll invite our people serving communion to come and take their elements and go to their stations. But I also want to say this morning. I don't know how the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I don't know if there's some things in your schedules or our attitudes or our hearts that we need to look at. But maybe there's one area that you might say, Jeff, I'm disqualified from owning. And that is because I'm broken. I can't serve because only perfect people serve. And in my brokenness, I can't do a thing. I want to tell you this morning, you are in the perfect place. Because God loves using broken people. His word is full of using broken people. People with all sorts of junk in their past and their present. That Jesus wants to meet us, forgive us, and restore us this morning. He wants to set us free to become an owner. And so as we take communion this morning, may this be a declaration that we will not settle for just being hired hands in the kingdom of God. That we ask the Holy Spirit and we will respond into what it means to take next steps in living as owners. Not because that's what we just do, but it's because who we are. We are children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High King. And today, if you haven't taken that step into ownership, if you know that you haven't asked Jesus to take center stage in your life, maybe this morning is the time when you do that. When you give him your brokenness and say, God, forgive me for all that I have done. Forgive me and restore me. You can do that today. We have a prayer room available. The instructions are on the screen behind me, where you can go and meet with someone or talk to the person that you came with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says this, For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.